सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।
हरि ओम्। ऑन ट्यूसडे वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग भगवान आदि शंकराचार्य जी जयंती and I thought I'll spend a few minutes telling everybody about this great spiritual giant who lived in India in the 8th century and what his contribution has not only been to Hinduism but to our Chinmaya mission, how much we have benefited from that. So Shankaracharya ji was born in Kerala and already by age 5 he was fluent in Sanskrit and was composing hymns and different prayers and chants in Sanskrit. By age 8, he had taken sannyas, renounced the world, and left with the permission of his mother. He went to seek the highest truth. He actually studied for a very brief time under Govind Padaji, who was his guru, and then after that he then left and started his job of modernizing Hinduism. He wrote commentaries on the Prasthantriya, the three great schools of spiritual knowledge, the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, and the Brahma Sutras. And he also composed many original works of his own, which told us about Vedanta. And what is Vedanta? Vedanta is the Upanishads, and he wrote more commentaries on what is Brahman and what am I? What is my relationship with Brahman? Brahman is the substratum of the whole universe, the whole universe. And Jiva Brahma Aikyam, that means me and Brahman are not separate. When Brahman is everything and everybody, then how can I be separate? So that oneness and this whole world has appeared from that one consciousness. That was his main teaching. And Advaita Vedanta, where there is no two, there is one alone, and this whole universe is a appearance upon that, like an illusory appearance, like a movie. That was his teachings. And in the Chinmaya Mission, our whole teachings are based on this Advaita Vedanta philosophy, which was started by Shankaracharya ji, and a lot of his compositions are discussed and studied in the Chinmaya Mission. And our format of teaching is based on Shankaracharya ji's teachings. Then he realized that India at that time was in a very sorry state spiritually, because the ancient Hindu culture had died down. The ancient, our Vedic religion had died down, and India was left with just superstitions, false beliefs, mere rituals, and the knowledge part of the religion had finished. And so he decided to re-establish that. And also India had been permeated by a very wrong concepts of Buddhism, not what Buddha taught, but the concept where everybody was becoming a monk, they were not working, they were not studying, and expecting society to take care of them. So he decided to re-establish the Vedic faith, and he traveled from city to city, village to village, and he traveled the whole length and breadth of India. This was in the 8th century when there were no trains, no cars, only bullock carts, or mostly by foot. And he debated with various authorities, with various scholars, and convinced them, because those who believed in rituals or on different paths, that Vedanta and this is the best path to follow, and a lot of them became his disciples. And in his travels, he established 4 centers of excellence, called 4 mathas, excellence, which were east, west, north, and south of India. And he installed his own highest, best disciples to be the acharyas, Shankara, and they were called Shankaracharya after Shankaracharya ji left his body. And these centers are still in existence and are still working on the research and study of our Vedic religions and spreading this knowledge. So in 32 years of his short life, this spiritual giant did so much work, which people often will not do in several lifetimes. So we offer our homage to this great spiritual giant. And how does this knowledge of Vedanta apply in my life? Why should we study that? Youngsters may be asking, and adults also. So I thought I'll spend a little time on the practical application of Vedanta. So the 2 teachings of Vedanta, one is you are infinite, and second is you are bliss. So I and you, we are infinite because Brahman is in every one of us. So all of us are infinite because Brahman is infinite, and we are of the nature of eternal bliss. So how does that translate in my life? When I say I am blissful, then in life there may be problems. There may be sorrows, physical problems, emotional problems, intellectual problems, societal problems, worldly problems, as we are, the whole world is experiencing. So problems will be there. I will take care of the problems as required, but inside I will not be disturbed because I am of the nature of bliss. Yes, sorrows will come, I will deal with them, but inside I have the clear understanding that I am the Atman, the Brahman, the consciousness, the bliss. Second is, so that's what Bhagavan Krishna says in the Gita, Sama Shatraucha Mitrecha Tatha Man Apmana Yoho Shitoshna Sukha Dukheshu Samasanga Vivarjitaha. So my devotee who knows this knowledge, even when there is heat and cold, health and ill health, joy and sorrow, success and failure, this individual remains undisturbed. The second is I am infinite. What does that mean? When I say I am infinite, means that whatever I put my mind to, I can achieve. There is nothing I cannot achieve in this world. As youngsters, all of you are now on the threshold of going to college. So that is a very important understanding to take, that I am infinite. And whatever I put my mind to, I can achieve. All I have to do is decide and put the effort. Obviously, effort is required, and I have to decide. And this will be useful not only in school, college, but also in our career. As we establish our career, whatever I decide, I can do. If I want to be successful, I can be successful if I put the effort. And that is very, very important. That is what Vedanta teaches us. For adults, how does this apply? When I am infinite, then I can realize my infinite nature. People think enlightenment not going to happen in this life. No. I have this knowledge. I have the Bhagavad Gita. I have Swami Chinmayananda who has given us this knowledge. I have all these acharyas that come to our mission. So through that knowledge, all of us can attain that enlightenment stage. So that is the understanding of this Vedanta. What is the practical application? I am blissful and I am infinite. I thought I'll tell a story about an individual who achieved this even despite all obstacles, which will show us that you can achieve whatever you put your mind to. And I was going to talk about Lokmanya Tilak. Tilak ji, Lokmanya. Lokmanya means one who is respected by everybody, was the leader of the Indian freedom movement in the earlier 20th century before Mahatma Gandhiji came on later on. And he was a prolific writer. He was fluent in Sanskrit and in Marathi, his own language. And he used to write for a newspaper called Kesari. And he wrote articles encouraging people to fight for freedom. And his one statement was, Swaraj is my birthright and no one can take it from me. That means freedom is my birthright and I will get it at all costs. And because of his writings, the British government put him in jail for 6 years. And they put him in a jail in Mandalay in Burma, Myanmar, which was called Kalapani. Means it was the worst prison that you could be put. And the conditions were so bad, either people died or when they came out of that prison, they were broken. They were physically and mentally destroyed. But he had the spiritual knowledge. He took the Bhagavad Gita with him and he had also met Swami Vivekananda. So he was inspired by that. And so he took his Bhagavad Gita and he asked the jailer, can I have a paper and pen? Paper and pen. And so he was given paper and pen. And in those 6 years, he wrote a beautiful commentary on the Bhagavad Gita called Gita Rahasya. And he came out of there much stronger, where he told the people of India, just as Bhagavan Krishna told Arjuna to fight against evil, so it is the duty of every citizen to fight against evil. So this shows us that circumstances may not be conducive, but if you have the right knowledge, if you have God with you, and if you have the willpower, you can accomplish anything. So I thought this would, as our homage to Shankaracharya ji, and why we should study Vedanta and how Vedanta can be practically useful. So I'll just briefly summarize the seven chapters. We have done that few times, but there are some new people. So very quickly, in the first chapter, we see that Arjuna is mentally disabled. Mentally, he's not able to function. See, if I have a physical disability, I can go to the doctor and take medicine. But if I have a mental problem, where do I go? To Vedanta. Rather than going to a psychiatrist, go to Vedanta. Because Vedanta is what will solve our problems, the guru. And that's what Arjuna did. He went to Bhagavan Krishna and says, Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapanna. I am surrendered to you, you teach me. And so Bhagavan Krishna first starts with the highest knowledge that you are the Brahman, you are the self. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. Nothing happens to you. Your body may perish, these people around may perish, but you are eternal. But Arjuna didn't get it because he was not ready, just as you and I are not ready to hear that. Oh, I am eternal, I am permanent. So then Bhagavan says, okay, now let me give them the basic knowledge and get them ready for this knowledge of who am I. And so he taught him karma yoga, how to work in the world unselfishly. In the fourth chapter, how to dedicate all activities to God, every activity, whether it's eating, whether it's studying, whether it's working. Everything is Brahman, that Lord alone is, and how to work with others in a yajna spirit for the benefit of mankind. In the fifth chapter, Bhagavan taught him how to detach, how to take sannyas. Sannyas does not mean only putting on orange clothes, but while working in the world, stay detached. No, I am this consciousness and this body, mind and intellect are functioning because of my presence, because I am that. And so be a witness and watch everything that is happening. But that way you are able to actually perform better rather than getting so much caught up in the activity where, oh, this is alone is important. You then develop a witness attitude. And that witness attitude was strengthened by Bhagwan in the sixth chapter where he taught him about meditation. We just finished the seventh chapter. I'll briefly summarize. The first six chapters talk about me, this human being. And the seventh chapter talks about who is God and who is this God I should know. And so Bhagwan starts talking about me, the consciousness, which he says my lower nature is this world and my higher nature is that consciousness. And this world is a mixture of Purush and Prakriti, matter and spirit. But there are very few people who want to know me as my essence because they are so busy in doing only worldly things, chasing after worldly objects, that they don't have time for me. And so if that's what they do, that's what they will get. And yeah, they will be successful in the material world, but inside the satisfaction and peace and happiness that they need, permanent, they will not get. That can only be got in having God with you, having God with you at all times. Still doing all activities, but not forgetting that it is because of God I am able to do and having Him constantly with me. And recognizing the divinity within us and the divinity within everybody. And then he also said that you can approach God for relief from suffering. You can approach God if you want something like a job or some success, or you can approach God for knowledge, and those are all very good. There's nothing wrong in praying to God, but the highest prayer to God is, God, give yourself to me, reveal yourself and become one with me. So having said that, then Bhagwan Sri Krishna ended with seven new terms which Arjuna was not clear about, and those terms we will be addressing in the eighth chapter. So these seven new terms that Arjuna wanted the commentary on, Bhagwan will give us the commentary. And the eighth chapter is Imperishable Brahma, Akshar Brahma. So we'll be starting the eighth chapter today. Sudha can please chant.
Atha Ashtamo Dhyayah.
Arjuna
Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Kim Karma Purushottama.
Adhibhutam Cha Kim Proktam.
Adhibhutam cha kim proktam.
Adhidaivam kim uchyate.
Adhidaivam kim uchyate.
We'll just chant together.
Arjuna uvacha. Kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam. Kim karma purushottama. Adhibhutam cha kim proktam. Adhidaivam kim uchyate.
So, in the eighth chapter, which talks about the Akshar Brahma, the imperishable Brahman, it starts with Arjuna's question. So, Arjuna, in the last seventh chapter, Bhagwan had mentioned seven new terms, which have been covered in the Vedas. So, Arjuna wants to know what are those terms. So, Arjuna Uvacha, Arjuna said, Kim Tad Brahma, what is that Brahman? See, he still thought Brahman is that, is somebody far away that I have to know, I have to reach. In some future time, at some future place, I will get to know that Brahman. So, but Bhagwan wants to tell him that Brahman is not only that, but is this. Whatever we see, everything is that Brahman. So what is Brahman and what is Adhyatmam? Adhyatmam is the inner essence. We'll talk about that. Kim karma and what is karma? So we think karma, I know. Karma is action, work, or kya hai? No, there is a lot more. Actually, most of my talk today, I'll be talking about this karma. So what is karma, O Purushottam, O the Supreme Lord, O the highest among all? What is karma, what is adhyatmam, and what is that Brahman? And then adhibhutam cha kim, and what is this adhibhutam cha that is said to be? What is said to be adhibhutam proktam and adhidaivam? And what is adhidaivam kim uchyate? Humne second chant kiya tha? Okay, we'll also chant the second one, Sudha, and then I'll explain the first two verses together. Adhiyagnyam katham kotra.
Adhiyagnyam katham kotra.
Dehesmin madhusudana.
Dehesmin madhusudana.
Prayan kale cha katham.
Prayan kale cha katham.
Neyosi niyatatma bihi. Together, adhiyagnyam katham kotra, dehesmin madhusudana, prayan kale cha katham, neyosi niyatatma bihi. So Arjuna asked, what are the, in the first verse, and in the second verse he asks, adhiyagnyam, I have also heard you say adhiyagnyam, so what is kaha, what is adhi, who is adhiyagnyam, and katha, and how does this adhiyagnyam function, where, atra, here, dehe asmin, so in this body, how does this adhiyagnya function, oh please tell me, Madhusudana, Krishna's, one of Bhagavan Krishna's names was Madhusudana, because there was a evil demon called Madhu who had been destroyed by him, so he was called Madhusudana. And then Arjuna asks, prayana kale means at the time of death, katham cha, and how at the time of death, neyosi, how will you be known by me? See, he already knew Bhagavan Krishna, but when he says knowing, means how will I remember you? And not only me, but how will other people remember you? And what is the qualification? Niyatatma bihi. So people who are self-controlled, who will have controlled themselves, how will they remember you? So he knew that at the time of death, if we remember Lord, then that's where we go. So how are we going to meet this Lord? So what he tells Bhagavan Sri Krishna, that answer all seven. See, you know, when, remember when in high school or in college we had a test and they would say there are seven questions. You know, we had those essay type, answer four out of seven. Usually we were told that, or answer five, you could pick. But here he says, Bhagavan, no, you don't have any choice. You have to answer all seven questions. And these technical terms, adhiyagnya, adhibhuta, adhidaiva, is there in all sciences. For example, a boy comes home. And he says, mother, give me H2O. Because he has just learned in school that water is... Oh, mother knows, but she's very happy. Oh, my daughter, my son is learning. Or the daughter comes, says, I want sodium chloride to put in my vegetable. So she knows, you know, oh, my children are learning. This is salt. So there is terminal, like in medicine, you know, there are doctors who are called endocrinologists. Now... doctors may know, but non-doctors say, what is this term, you know? And same way in computers, like I still don't know what is this CNTRL, ALT, DEL. So these are terms that unless you are familiar with, you don't know them. So similarly, Vedanta has its own terminology, and that's what Arjuna wants to know. And he also knows that to live a life of self-control, niyatatma bihi, is the most important way to live, and that is alone is the important way. Now there are seven questions. So in our opinion, the first six questions, theek hai, if I know or don't know, doesn't matter. If I don't know what is adhidaivam, adhibhuta, it is not that important. Now the seventh question, yeah, that is 80% of the marks. Why? Because that tells me what I should do at the time of death and what happens after death. See, we all want to know that. We don't want to know what happened in this life, but what was I in my previous life? We want to know. What am I going to be afterwards? We don't worry about this life. But this whole chapter addresses that seventh question. The first two verses, Bhagavan will address the first six questions. And then after that, the entire rest of the chapter talks about who is God and what happens after death, what are the paths we will take, and how we can know God after death and also in this lifetime.